You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast, recorded live at our Manchester campus. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.
Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. It says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I've called today's message the game changer. The game changer. And the reason why is because in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and tell everyone, you know, make disciples. But then in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he says, wait. So he says, go, and then he says, wait. And this series of sermons over the next few weeks is a big ready, steady, go. It's a big go and tell your mates about Jesus. Go and share your faith. Go and tell your testimony. But the first message is really leaning into the but wait. Because Jesus didn't say just go. He said go, but wait. And that's what we're going to lean into. The key scripture for today's message is this, Acts chapter 1. And over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, and Acts chapter 4. And just seeing how the church was birthed and what we can learn from that in this season of invitation. But this is today's scripture. This is Acts chapter 1. And in verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Come on, Audacious. We're a Pentecostal church. Unashamedly, we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be, I added the then to make a point, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Sam. Beautiful. That feeling when you get somewhere and you realize you've not got what you need. Give me a wave. Okay, all you judges. I'm talking about when you go on holiday and you get in the car, the boat, the plane, the train, wherever you, however you're traveling, and you get to the destination and you get in your tent, your caravan, your apartment, your hotel room, and you flop down in your bed and you scroll on your phone before you fall asleep and you turn to the side like you do at home to plug your phone in and you realize, didn't bring your charger. Nightmare. Come on, maybe for you it's at work when you kind of, you got to be in that meeting or you got to do that presentation and you forgot your notes. Maybe you're at the stage of life where your children still need nappies and wipes at all times. And you get to the place, you get to the wedding where you've got to manage your baby whilst also looking glamorous and wonderful at a wedding and you realize no nappies. Nightmare. Anyone? I had a habit a few years ago of when I went to America, which we were doing probably once a year at that point, and I just always, always forgot to pack underpants. I don't know why that was a thing, but I had a reputation of being the guy that when you picked him up from the airport, straight to Target to buy some underpants. I'm removing the microphone for the live stream so that they don't hear what I'm saying. There's nothing worse than that feeling. You've worn them inside out, back to front, no? Of course not. I need to do a different illustration because I can't go from underpants to Jesus. That's not good. Give me something else, Josh, Joel. What's your name? Steve? Come on, you forget something. Toothbrush. You ever been to hotel reception and asked for a toothbrush? And they give you one that's just an inch long. You're like, ah. Who's this for? Toddler. Anyway, Jesus. Did that work? No. No, I reckon this is that moment of Jesus is having that moment with his disciples because he said, go. That passage in Matthew 28 is called the Great Commission. Many of us know it. It's where, you know, Jesus has died on the cross and he's risen from the dead. And in that 40-day period, that's a significant number if you know the Bible. It's a different sermon, but in that 40-day period, he appears to the disciples a few times. And one of the early times, he says, okay, go and make disciples. And that's like almost like the start of the church. It's the response to that instruction is the church. But then in Acts chapter 1, which is kind of the last time that Jesus appears in these 40 days before he ascends into heaven. And I want you to imagine the state of mind for a minute of the disciples. They believed that Jesus, they knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And yet, you know, after getting riled up and ready and charged and excited, he then gets arrested and killed. And so their hearts are broken and they don't know what's going on. And then the girls come back from visiting the tomb and say he's alive. And they're like, are you having a laugh? And then he appears and it's like, oh, it's back on. The game is back on. And then Jesus says, I'm going. It's like, what's happening here? But then Jesus understood that if they were going to follow his instructions to go and tell, they first needed to wait to receive something. Because Jesus was fully man as well as fully God. And for the church to go to Jerusalem, which is representative of like locally and Judea, the region, and Samaria, other places, and even the ends of the earth, that was the instruction. He understood that in order for them to do that, he needed to leave something or someone that would enable his presence to be in more than one place at once. It's the Holy Spirit. And so in Acts chapter 1, he says, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. And so I wanted to take a moment in our time that we have today, just the next 15 minutes, to explore the game changer that is the Holy Spirit. We are a Pentecostal church. Our name, the name Pentecostal comes from what happened in the book of Acts on what is now called the Day of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples, and under that power, they were able to do what we are still doing now. Come on, we're carrying the baton that the famous sort of disciples of the Bible, the big characters of the New Testament, and even the Apostle Paul, we're doing what they were doing. And that is exactly what Jesus said we would do. You will do what I've been doing. In fact, even greater. And so I've got three ways that I want us to consider before we launch off into November and run up to December. And we have all these opportunities at work to nervously kind of just say for the first time, you know, hey, just wondering if you might. I mean, I'm sorry for asking, and it's fine if you don't want to. In fact, you probably don't want to. It doesn't matter. Like we actually say, hey, it'd be great. Would you want to come to church? And may that be the catalyst, the thing that starts things moving. Because it happened for you in your life. Either someone invited you or you were curious and came and had a nosy. And whatever it was that brought you into this place, you encountered the living God and it is transforming your life. And we're not here in this church, in this city, along with all the other churches in this city, to just have a good time together. We actually got a mission. We've got a job to do, which is to live on display. So the first way that the Holy Spirit was a game changer was quite simply his power. His power. When I was a teenager, my youth pastor would explain the Holy Spirit to me and my brothers and my friends this way. He would say the Holy Spirit is the power of God for every day. The Holy Spirit and that feeling of like just his presence and that overwhelming awe that we have sometimes in church or perhaps at a conference was never intended to stay at the altar. It was supposed to be on you and in you so that you can go and he can work through you. The power of his presence. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the verse that we read at the beginning says, but you will receive power. Not just a little boost, not just a one percenter. You know, if you drink matcha, it makes you more healthy. Perhaps by 0.001%. You got your powders and your vitamins and your vitamin gummies and all that stuff that might give you, let's face it, a little bit of a boost. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about dynamite power. The word power in the original Greek, because I don't know if you know, but the Bible wasn't written in English and the New Testament was written in Greek. And when we read our translation, it is an English translation of the original Greek text. And the Greek word for power is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. So this is no nonsense. This is not messing about. This is not saying, oh, it might make it, you know, 5% easier, or it might. No, this makes the biggest difference. It's the power of God for every day. The power to forgive the person that's upset you. The power to show kindness when you feel like you've got nothing left. The power to have joy in your heart, regardless of your circumstances, doesn't come from you. It comes from Him. Thank God. I know me. Power of the Holy Spirit is a game changer. Now, don't get me wrong. We are a community of faith. And we speak faith. And we describe what your life would look like if you put God first on a regular basis. We believe in human flourishing. But do not be mistaken into thinking that what we are saying is that human flourishing comes from human effort. It does not. We are able to be a people of faith and have fun in the house of God and be confident looking down the barrel of the next 7 days with all that it can hold. We're confident because 2 Corinthians 12 says this in verse 9, but he said to me, Apostle Paul speaking about God, speaking to him and so us, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power, God's power, is made perfect in professional Christians? No. Those who are on staff in the church? No. Those who ascend the steps of the hill of the platform and have a microphone? No. His grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more gladly about my weakness. In other words, I'm cool with being flawed. I'm cool with not having enough to do what it takes. Why? So that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Holy Spirit's a game changer, because you can wake up weak and walk in power. There you are. Holy Spirit's a game changer because we're talking about dynamite power. You don't have what it takes to live for God for the next 20 years unless you just acknowledge. That's why submission is part of a spiritual discipline, because you actually get to a point in your life where you recognize you can't do it. You can't do it. You can try and you should try, because we're diligent. We're diligent, and diligence is also, I would say, one of the disciplines that the Bible teaches us, but it's not based on the understanding that you and I have got what it takes in ourselves. It's a case of saying, I take all of my diligence, all of my best effort, and I lay it at your feet, because when you pick it up, you multiply it, you increase it, you maximize it. So that when the people look at your life on display and go, it's all right for you. Why does it go so well for you? You just go, it's not me. Come on, let me get some action in the back section. God wants to show his power in your life. There you go, Pete. One of the game changers of the Holy Spirit then, and so therefore for us now, is his power. The second game changer is not just power, but it's power for a purpose. We're not intended, God never intended to give us his presence, the Holy Spirit, just so that we can have a nice time in church, although I love being in church. I've been to church pretty much every Sunday since I was born. I can think of two occasions, one where my dad thought my mum was taking me and my mum thought my dad was taking me. So I had a right laugh, home alone. Didn't have mobile phones then either. Just ate food and just chilled out. It was interesting. And then another time when we got our cars nicked on the Sunday between Christmas and New Year. And it was like I'm there as a 40 whatever year old bloke going like, this feels weird. I'm not going to church for the first time. I don't know why I'm telling you that. What are we talking about? Yeah, something to do with church and God and that. The purpose of the power is to be a witness. It says, and I'll read the verse again, but you will receive power, that was point number one, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and I'm adding this word, then, to make a point, and then, once you have received the power, then you will be able to be a witness in all of these different places. Purpose always answers the question, what's the point? If you want to know the purpose of this table, you say, what's the point of the table? If you want to know the purpose of the chair that you sat on, you ask the question, what's the point of the chair? And if you want to know what the purpose of the power is, you say, what's it for? And what it's for is so that you and I can live on display. Because me displaying me is not going to change anybody. But if I can somehow, with the Holy Spirit's help, just show a little bit of what God is like, then that's transformational for this city. And this city deserves our church and all the other churches to be full of people who recognize that we have a great time in the house so that we can leave the house and live on display. The purpose of the power is to be a witness, displaying the supernatural God to a society that desperately needs truth and freedom and peace and hope. And that cannot be found anywhere else. That only happens when we recognize that there is something from God that we need, not once, but every day, starting with the, I am not enough, but with you, I can live your way. With the less of me, more of you. That's the prayer of a disciple, and it's the prayer of our church. We're going to be encouraging you to write the names of three of your friends or family members on the back of these cards. And we're going to be encouraging you to keep it in your wallet or your purse or your Bible or wherever it is that you kind of go to often so that you can remember to pray that God would do something and even use you and I this season to see some lives transformed. I'm prophesying for January's baptism service, that we will hear the testimonies in February and March of people who right now don't know God and they're trying with all their heart to live right and they're trying, but they're going to hear about Jesus this Christmas. They're going to hear about Jesus because you had the courage to live on display with the Holy Spirit's help. And when they say, what is it about you? Like, how do you can say, it's not me. And as cheesy as it may sound, and as much of a poster that you'd see in a Christian bookshop, you're going to say, it's not me, it's Jesus. And they're going to go, what? You're going to say, let me tell you about him. In fact, come to church and we'll find out about him together. The game changer that is the Holy Spirit will give you power, but power for a purpose. And the purpose is to be a witness. And the third point, as the band come up and join me, is that the game-changing nature of the Holy Spirit is what is produced. The produce, or the produce, as the Americans say, like the produce of the Holy Spirit is the thing that makes you a credible witness. A witness in a court is someone who has seen something, but that's only 50% of it. It's someone who has seen something and has the courage to say what they've seen. And Jesus said, wait, because you will receive power so that then you can be a witness, and your credibility as a witness is what the Bible calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit, the evidence. How do you know that which seed is under the ground when you see an apple tree? The evidence of what the seed is the fruit on the branches. There is evidence of my neighbor's apple seed all over my lawn. And I have to go out with them green bags that are for the green bin about four times a day and put apples in the green bags, because the evidence of what is underneath the surface is shown in the fruit, and your credibility and my credibility as a witness, our credibility as the church in this city is actually not the cathedral. What that will do is it will go, hey, Manchester, come and look at this. But the this is not the building. People are not going to go into the building and go, right, there must be a God. There's loads of buildings. Look, there's not enough cranes in Europe to service Manchester's buildings at the moment. And so the building is not the vision. The building is a vehicle to help me and you have the courage to say, come and see. And when they come and see, they're not looking at anything other than the evidence in mine and your life, the transformational story of your and my hearts. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree, and by the way, if you're not used to reading scripture this way, you have to step into the text. And in this verse, you're not Jesus, you're the tree. In fact, probably safe to say that you're never Jesus. Just help you out there. You're definitely more Judas than Jesus. No offense, no offense. No offense. Come on, Thomas. Come on, Matthew. None of us are Jesus, right? We step into the text. Don't put yourself like, I'll take the main part. Oh, you need a, okay. Remember at primary school? Everyone wanted to be Mary and Joseph. That's not this scenario. You're the tree. Each tree is recognized by the fruit. And then the Bible's explicit about what the fruit is. And so before we go into the rest of this series, and Pastor Glenn is speaking in 2 weeks' time about the declaration and demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. And we talk about miracles, and we talk about a word of prophecy and a word of knowledge and all this stuff that we get access to do because of the Holy Spirit working us. Before we get to that, I just wanted to remember that the evidence and your credibility as a witness, heaven is not just saying, can I get a witness? They're saying, can I get a credible witness? Because when you go to court, your credibility is really important as a witness. If you're like, well, I think I saw it. Yeah, the guy was, oh, was it a girl? I can't remember. That's going to get thrown out of court because the witness is not credible. But your credibility as a witness is not that you can stand and wave your hand and shout in the street or whatever. No, the credibility is the fruit in your life. And here's the explicit list of fruit that the Bible tells us about. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, which we'll talk about in a moment, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Think about that for a minute. How do you know if you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you're walking in power so that you can show other people what God is like? Well, let's just pick one. Forbearance, there's an old school word. Sometimes translated as patience. The original Greek word meaning patience, endurance, consistency, steadfastness, perseverance. We're talking about resilience here, people. If you want to stand for truth and stand for Him for time, then you need the Holy Spirit's power. If you want to make sure Sunday church is a priority for you in your household in the rhythm of modern life, then you are going to need the game changer to change the game and help you live differently to your friends and your feelings. Penny over here, Joyce, and others in our church that have been living this thing for decades, they will tell you if you ask them, and I know because I've had many conversations with them over the years, that the way that you're still in the house at this beautiful age is because the Holy Spirit is in you. Self-control. It's about to get awkward. Self-control, temperance, the original Greek word meaning one who masters his desires, passions, and sensual appetites. We're talking about building your temptation resistance muscle to the point where the enemy knows there is that strategy is not going to work with you. Self-control does not come from yourself. I know it sounds like it does because it says self, but it's listed as a fruit of the Spirit. I know what the fruit of Paul Reed is. We've discussed this. Lazy and selfish. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. If you want to keep porn off your devices, drunkenness out of your behavior, promiscuity from your reputation, lies from your language, gossip from your mouth, compromise from your future, money from your heart, jealousy from your mind, you're going to need a daily encounter with the Holy Spirit. You can't decide that you're not going to sleep with your girlfriend when you're already horizontal. Too late. You can't decide you're not going to get drunk once you're at the bar 4 pints in and it's your round. Too late. The time to decide you're not going to expose yourself to the poison of the porn industry is not on your own at 2 a.m. with unfettered access to the internet. Proverbs 16:32 says this, better a patient person than a warrior, one with self-control than one who takes a city. In other words, it takes more strength, supernatural strength, to control oneself than it does to take down an entire city. What about kindness? We could go through them all. If you want to forgive someone, then you need the game changer. If you don't want to gossip about your friends and talk negatively about them behind their backs while smiling to their faces, you're going to need the Holy Spirit's help. If you want to live on display, you're going to need the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to the Audacious Church podcast. For more information, visit audaciouschurch.com.